Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many are excited on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning as we celebrate our Christmas service? I want to thank all y'all for being here on this beautiful, beautiful, special occasion. Amen. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen. Those viewing online, we welcome you as well. That you be blessed this day. Amen. I want to thank all the practices for the dance, the song, the music, and the team here at the church of getting everything ready for each and every one of us, for those viewing online. I'm blessed here this day and very fortunate to be sharing the gospel of the birth of Christ when I shouldn't have this opportunity today, but because of the birth of Christ, amen, the death of Christ, and the resurrection power of Christ, I stand here before you this day, a witness that the birth of Christ, death of Christ, and resurrection of Christ was not done invalid. Amen. It served its purpose in my life. It can serve its purpose in your life, in those viewing online. The plan of the Father was a perfect plan, because we were out of it, amen? And that's why he used his son, his only begotten son, Jesus, to carry out this plan that only Jesus could do. But now, because of the birth of Christ, salvation within our lives, amen, we too can carry out the perfect plan of the Father while still being imperfect people. They get better and better daily, amen? Stronger in the things of the Lord. So I'm excited here on this service, amen, to be able to speak on the birth of Christ and all that was taking place surrounding the birth of Christ and all that is taking place right now in the things of the Lord in these end times that we're living in. It's very important that, as well for ourselves, our neighbors, loved ones, family members at the workplace, that they be saved, that Jesus be born within their lives, amen, that they become born again Christians because of what took place on this day over 2,000 years ago, amen. So I'm really, really excited. As I say, I believe the Lord's got a word for us here this day, amen, but you're going to have to listen intently in the beginning parts, amen, to get the end part, amen. So once again, I thank everybody here this morning for making it possible. The leadership, I love you guys. I'm proud of you guys for doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Where I can show up at the church. Amen. Just focus on giving the word. Amen. I want to start off by saying, how many love getting Christmas gifts? Amen. Raise your hands. That includes you too, Pastor Felipe. Amen. He says size 8 and small and everything else. Amen. How many like the experience or the high of buying gifts and being able to give gifts? Amen. How many love the both? How many love receiving gifts and also the giving of gifts and blessing somebody else's life, amen? And just surprising them with something that you got for them or that you were thinking about them and so forth, and getting them off guard, amen? But the title of this, all those things are good. The title of this morning's message is Unwrapping Jesus, the Greatest Gift Ever. Unwrapping Jesus, the greatest gift ever. How many have some toys if you have kids laying around the house from last year? Amen. You're already putting them in a box and you're letting some other kids play with them and they're all leaving your house. Amen. Because that gift was good for the moment. It was good for the moment. Amen. It was good while it lasted. That's what makes the gift of Jesus salvation that he offers all of us, so special, so great, because it's a gift that continues to grow and be able to grow and be able to grow. It's a gift that is able to last forever, for an eternity. I have an eternity proof of your life and my life and those viewing through Facebook one day soon being in heaven. The spiritual gift that the Father offers all of us is His Son. His Son called Jesus. A gift that I believe a lot of times many take lightly, as if the gift ain't really that special. Where, as the gifts of our children end up in a closet within a couple of weeks, Jesus at times can be put in the shelf also. Jesus Himself can be forgotten. And we can get back to doing things like we used to. Having the greatest gift ever given to us by the Father, which is His Son, and through the vehicle called the cross. A price was paid that money couldn't pay, that education couldn't pay, that being a big Scarface dope dealer couldn't pay. It was a price that was paid that only Jesus could pay. It was a price that He paid in full. He didn't leave nothing out of the gift that the Father gave you. Didn't leave nothing out for you to become a great son that would grow up and become a great man of God. To be a great daughter that would grow up to be a great woman of God. The Father didn't leave nothing out in the plan of your salvation. He didn't leave nothing out for you not to be totally successful in the things of the Lord and receiving the greatest gift ever. I don't care how much money somebody might spend this Christmas on the biggest diamond ever found, the rarest of pearls ever found, would still not even be able to take a second place to the perfect gift the Father has given through His Son called Jesus. A gift that's so profound, so great, so powerful, so forgiving, so loving, that not a one of us should ever get tired of growing in the things of the Lord. And this is what I want to speak about here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Once again, if you're just entering the building, amen, or coming online, the title of this morning's message is Unwrapping Jesus, the Greatest Gift Ever. I know young adults, kids are wondering what Santa Claus is going to get them this year. And some are shaking the box and saying, I know what it is, I know what it is. Some of them are even cheating, opening them up and wrapping them back up again and putting them under the tree. And on Christmas Day, acting very surprised with a poker face smile, amen? And you're wondering what your husband's going to get you, or if he's even going to get you anything. You're wondering what your wife is going to get you. You're wondering what your children are going to get you. Your children are wondering what you're going to get them. And you're hoping that they get you that what you've been wanting. I want to be able to give you Jesus today. Some of you might be viewing online, going through hard times right now, and you might be wanting breakthroughs in other areas, but I want to give you breakthrough here this day. and the greatest gift ever, Jesus. But he's wrapped up. He's wrapped up in his word. He's wrapped up in his word as I preach the gospel here this day. The preaching of his gospel is going to unwrap the gift called Jesus. It's going to unwrap what took place in that manger where Jesus was born. You're going to be able to take a peek by the preaching of the gospel of the gift of Jesus that is wrapped up within your life if you have already been saved. And the gift that is on its way right now through the preaching of the gospel for those that have not yet received Jesus Christ, the best gift ever into your life yet. This gift, as great as Santa Claus may give, this gift as the many elves that Santa Claus has in the North Pole, I believe they're in the hundreds helping them right now. And he's checking the list, who's naughty, who's been good. And they're making sure everything is correct, because they want to make sure they get the present right, the gift right, to those that have been good. And they're making sure that they get what they wanted. And here Jesus, through the plan, the perfect plan of the Father, is waiting to see who's going to accept him as the greatest gift ever here this day. And he wants to give himself through his word, through the preaching of the gospel here this day, to each and every one of us here, those viewing through Facebook. Not only have you been good, but even if you've been naughty and been doing the wrong things, going the wrong way, Jesus still here this day wants to give each and every one of us the opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior. Remember, Santa Claus can't do it all, but Jesus can. Let's go to the first picture, please. There's Santa Claus at the manger. Jesus is there. Santa Claus looks like he's praying. I don't know. Or saying please, or maybe saying, God, they've all been naughty. They're all sinners. What do I do? And here, Santa Claus kneeling at the manger where baby Jesus lies tells us that he's limited. Santa Claus can only cover so much ground and can only give you what you want and can only give what you want to only those that have not been naughty, that have been doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I don't want everybody to get bummed out, but Santa Claus can't do it all. Amen? Right here, he's submitting to the one that can. Let's go to the next picture. You might have seen it on Facebook this week. Here we see the comparison of what Santa Claus, even though his bag is full, and there we see what Jesus has to offer, carrying a cross. And Santa Claus brags by saying, I have gifts for everyone. And then Jesus humbly says, carrying his cross, I only have one, but it's enough for everyone. And at the bottom it says, Jesus can give you the gift of eternal life. Which one's it going to be, people? Santa Claus or Jesus? As we get into the word here this morning, as we go to the book of Matthew, I'm going to do a lot of reading in the beginning. I want everybody to be listening. It's going to be birth of Jesus scriptures, a couple of stories I'm telling to break down what I believe the Lord has given me to give to you here on this beautiful Sunday morning, a day that we're celebrating the greatest birth ever, the greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the Bible reads, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? They were searching. We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. On the other side, amen, is the king. Amen. King Herod was deeply distressed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? The wise men, as wise as they were looking for Jesus. Here the religious leaders that were leading along with the king were also in search where Jesus was at. And the religious answered here in verse 5, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they said. How did they know that? How did they have the answer? Because everything to life pertaining to Christmas is in wrapped up in the word of the Lord. Wrapped up in the word of the Lord. So here they answer the king. They answer the king and say, he's in Bethlehem in Judea, they said. For this is what the prophet wrote. Power in the word of the Lord is able to take you to Jesus, the works of Jesus. And you, O Bethlehem, this is the prophecy from the prophet that God gave. Plan of God was now in motion, and it's in motion right now as I'm speaking for your life, for those viewing through Facebook, for those that are here. And the word of the prophet reads, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. Amen? Let's go now to Matthew, same chapter of 2, and verses 16 and 18. Everybody following close attention, for you can get what the Lord wants to do by the end of the service. Amen? This is the reaction of the king, amen? Herod was furious when he realized that the wise man had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Based on the wise man's report of the star's first appearance, Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken. Once again, the power of the spoken word of God. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And this is now another prophet, another prophecy that came from God in regards to the birth of Christ and the opposition that would come with it. And this is the prophecy. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Speaking about all male boys 2 and under in and around Bethlehem to be killed. To take out the prophecy of the birth of Christ. In verse 5, we find a man of the same chapter of 2. In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. The baby Jesus was not the threat to the king. It was who he was to become that was the threat to the king. A little baby can't do much to anybody. Amen? But it was what brought King Herod to be furious and angry and mad was that this baby Jesus would not remain a babe, but that he would grow to be ruler, worshiped, and Savior, the Messiah. This is what worried the king. It was not so much the birth of Christ, but the prophecy of God and who his son would become. The power of God's word. How it was not only able to lead the wise men, but even the enemy. See, the enemy can read God's word and know how to attack you. The enemy can read God's plan of execution and know how to come against you. Just like when two boxers come together, what they do is study each other's fights. They study each other's fights to see the power spots of each fighter and to also look for the weak spots within each fighter, to look where the boxer is weak, where there's an opening. So the enemy is able to use God's word of truth to deceive you and I with lies. But to deceive us with lies, he would first have to know the truth. He knows the word. He knows the prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus. Not only the birth, but of the cross and the resurrection and the whole story of you and I being here this day was by something God did, the perfect plan of God, that he would use his son, his only son, to pull off our salvation, a way out of our sin for you and I, and for those viewing on Facebook. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way unto the Father but through Jesus. We're already proving that Santa Claus don't cover everything. The power of God's word. Verse 6 says that in Bethlehem, that and in Bethlehem, the land of Judah, and at least among the cities of Judah, For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. What was the answer of the enemy? Answer to the counter of the prophecy that was given by God to the prophets. See, the enemy always has a counter plan for God's word, but by using lies. So we need to learn God's truth, God's word. It's able to lead you and guide you. Amen? And the answer is found in verse 16 and 18 that I've already read, but we're going to read again. This was the answer to the birth of Jesus. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Hear this day, listen to me carefully. The work of the enemy is to deceive you and take you out of the promises of God when you first become born again. When you're still very young in the things of the Lord. When you don't know the truth, but you know the lies, you know the works of the enemy, but because you're a baby in Christ, you lack the truth. Even though many young converts and Christians think they know it all. Sometimes they think they know it all so good that they don't even have to listen to the pastor that's been walking with the Lord for 25 years and counting. I didn't stay in the manger. It started there. That's why it's very important to grow in the promises of the Lord that He has for your life and that He wants to work through your life just like He had for His Son Jesus and how He wanted to work through His Son Jesus. When the enemy heard the truth, amen. Go ahead and go to the next verse, please. He took action, brutal action. Look how the enemy responded to the word of the Lord. He responded with brutal action by taking out all born males two and under. In and around the Bethlehem area where Jesus was supposed to be. I wonder how many are going to take heed to the word of the Lord here this day and respond to the call of God upon your life. The enemy did. The Bible says that he took brutal action, fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. Here the enemy was obedient to God's spoken word, using a brutal tactic to take out all young males under 2 years old. Once again, the power of God's word. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Something similar took place in chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Amen? This is the time of Moses, the 400 years of bondage there in Egypt, where the people were crying out to God for a deliverer. And God, this is before the days of Jesus, God would choose a very unperfect man called Moses to lead 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. And the Bible reads, eventually a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to the people, look, it was something they could see. Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan. Here's the counter. Here's the counter. The Israelites were multiplying in the millions. They outnumbered the Egyptians. But they were slaves. They were in bondage. I want to let you know that you're on the winning side here this day. But you got to get out of the mindset of bondage. And why you're still in the same place you're at that you shouldn't be. The Bible says that there's more of us than there is of them. There's more power in Jesus than the enemy would ever be able to fulfill or pull off. But it's our mentality of bondage that says we can't get out of what we got ourselves into. That nobody can do it. Mom and dad can't do it. The program can't do it. Drugs can't do it. I'm trying to think of what they give you. Methadone can't do it. And all the new other drugs are doing a curve the want of drugs in a drug addict's life. So here, the king was able to see that they were greatly outnumbered. And he got his people and he says, look, he started tripping. In his mind, he was saying, man, if they were to get together, they could take us. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. They will escape from the country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. How many became a slave of bondage to the work of the enemy? Boy, to the work of the enemy, to the work of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I became a slave in bondage to the work of the enemy. The good news is 25 years later, I am a slave, a bond servant to the works of Jesus Christ in these end times that we're living in right now. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down. How many got worn down? Head down, from the head to the feet. Hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. I did some crushing labor for the enemy. I mean, till death. Crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarm the Egyptians became. What was the answer? The counter of the king? It was the same one. Same answer found in verse 22. The Bible reads, then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. The ban, not so much the women, had become a physical, numerical threat. It read further, the women were kept back as they could be helpful to the work of the enemy. Well, I have some BC sisters in the house that at one time were very helpful to the work of the enemy back in the days, even on Christmas. Okay, that was the Bible study, okay, guys? Here we find in the Old Testament where Moses would be raised up, amen? Here we find in the Old Testament the threat of God's people, more so to the men, had become a physical, numerical threat. It was something the king, the Pharaoh, could see. It was a physical, numerical threat that the king could see that was worried about what was taking place. And this was taking place in the Old Testament. And then as we fast forward into the New Testament, we find in the New Testament the spoken word of God through the prophets that the birth of Jesus, being the new king ruler, would take place. And once again, there was a threat to the kingdom of darkness, to King Herod. But this threat was not the same type of threat that was found in the Old Testament, that was a physical, numerical threat. But this threat was a spiritual threat coming from God, coming through His Word, coming through His prophets, and not only hitting the ears of His people, but hitting the ears of the enemy. A spiritual threat. What was the answer? Once again, kill all male newborn babies 2 years and under. It's almost like every time the enemy, he might attack you this a certain way, you a certain way, you a certain way, you. But at the end of the day, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we find in the Old Testament, along with the New Testament, amen, him wanting to take the young boys out. Not wanting them to become in the Old Testament, because back then they were a physical, numerical threat to becoming and growing up to be warriors that would come together one day. He says, man, let's jump them. But we find it also in the New Testament, spiritually speaking. Hear the spiritual plan of the Father using His Son. Still brought the same results of kill all the young boys, trying to take Jesus out, trying to take men out of the church that are born again
in their infant state, in their new convert state of being a baby in Christ. And the purpose of the enemy wanting to take newborn men out of the church is because he don't want to see you raise up spiritually strong as a warrior. Not just physically strong, but spiritually strong. No baby can threat the work of the enemy. No baby Christian can threaten the work of the enemy. And that is why it's so very important here this day that we grow in our salvation, that we grow, and that we don't allow this or that or this or that to take us out in receiving, what was the title again? The greatest gift of the beginning? Never unwrapping Jesus. The greatest gift under the Christmas tree here this day. Too many men being born again and never unwrapping the gift Jesus, the promises of Jesus, the prophecies over your life, and becoming that great, great man of God. Not one just with muscle, but one that is spiritually strong, that knows how to deliver spiritual blows to the work of darkness. I have a question here this day. This new year, do you want to be a physical threat or spiritual threat to the work of the enemy? God is speaking right now. As great as his gift is, the greatest gift ever, he will never force you to do anything you don't want to do. But if something's lacking and you're needing something done in your life, there's some things you're going to have to want to do in Jesus. It's not great enough to be saved. You need to be able to unwrap the Jesus within your life, to unwrap the greatest gift ever. Why would you not want to unwrap the greatest gift ever? Gift that is not only for kids, but young adults, the third wave. A gift is still the best one, even for mom and dad. He's still the best gift, even for grandma and grandpa. He's the best gift ever that lasts forever. Why would you not want to unwrap the best gift ever in your life? If the enemy was able to unwrap the works of God, the works of Jesus, the promises. These promises are not locked up just for the believer, but this word is able to be opened by the enemy as well. If the enemy knows the truth, why should not we, the church, the sons and daughters, the body of Christ, know the truth? The enemy countered in the Old Testament. To take out the young boys. He counters in the New Testament. Even though the birth is the birth of Jesus. Even though the prophecy comes through the prophet straight from God. He still counters. You would have think he would have just said, that's it. I'm defeated. Go ahead, God. You're too great for me. But he knows when we get saved as young converts that we yet lack truth. We yet lack the promises of what God is able to give. We lack these things, and we see not important to read the promise book, the purpose book, the book of prophecy, not only for our lives, the church, but the prophecy of doomsday for the enemy, the lake of fire. You see, you got to be able to tell the devil where to go. Sometimes you got to be able to tell him more than, go to hell, devil. You got to break him off some end time revelation. But we don't know the truth in who Jesus is, not even know the truth in who the devil is. It's important here this Christmas that the best gift ever be unwrapped. You need to find out what's in your life, the purpose and call upon your life. And Jesus, the greatest gift, leaves it to you. I've been preaching the greatest gift to the city of Milwaukee going on 19 years now. I've been giving you Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I could have gave you a lot of other stuff. I choose to continue to give Jesus, his word of truth that is able to set the captive free. But then we got to do our part to be set free of a bondage mentality. What good is it to have all these gifts under the tree with your name on it and be defeated? To know what she got for you, what he got for you, what mom got for you, what dad got for you, what grandma and grandpa. But do you know what Jesus got for you? Do you know what Jesus has done for you? Do you know the gift of Jesus here this day? Because if you do, you would be excited as I'm excited here this day. That you don't have to live the way you've been living. The greatest gift ever of salvation is within you. But it's up to you to unwrap it. For it to mature and grow. Not only to set you free, but to set others free through your life. This is a good gift. Pastor, I don't want to do what my marriage. Get to know who Jesus is. Pastor, my kids, I don't know what. Get to know who Jesus is. My answer is the same. Pastor, I'm having a financial deal. Get to know who Jesus is. Pastor, I'm struggling right now. Get to know who Jesus is. Question this new year, do you want to be a physical threat or a spiritual threat? Remember, it wasn't the physical birth of Jesus that was the threat, but it was who he would become. Not so much in himself, but who he would become in us in numbers. Jesus was one person only. But the threat was the plan of God using Jesus. The Bible says unless the seed dies, it remains one seed. But if it dies, it can produce many seeds. Jesus was then the only one that got the victory. We got the victory this day. The seed of Christ of his word is within our lives to grow and to produce fruit. And to be a worldwide international threat around the world. Victory outreach. The pioneering generation learned who God was. The book, it says that our ministry was birthed in prayer. It was birthed in prayer, our ministry, over 54 years ago. And then came
the Joshua generation, which I'm part of and proud of, 25 years in the Joshua. And I say that humbly, that God has kept me for 25 years preaching the gospel. I learned how to get a hold of God. I found out who I was in God. I found out my purpose, my call. But now we have the third wave. God, through His plan, through His Son Jesus, the plan through the pioneering generation, the Joshua generation, now wants to finish strong through the third wave. Which, yes, largely entails the young adults, but the third wave is for everybody. It's for everybody. It's an end time move of God. An end time move of God. But the question is, will the third wave, this end time last generation, this last great move of God, a prophetic word, remember, we know it, but the enemy knows it also. He knows all about the third wave. Will we grow spiritually as the pioneering generation did? Will we grow spiritually like the Joshua generation did? Will the third wave, will the young adults really get to a place to praise and worship Jesus? The greatest gift ever. Will He be worth more than anything else that's good that the world has to offer? Will He be kept first in the third wave's lives with the biggest storms hitting their lives? It's a question. The threat was in who Jesus would become. And my next point is, will you become who God has called you to be? You're going to have to grow spiritually then. You're going to have to unwrap Jesus. It's not going to happen coming to church by itself. Slowly but surely, you're going to have to spend time with the Lord. As busy as you get, you're going to have to spend time with the Lord. All the answers are in His Word. Even the answers to the work of what the enemy's doing, that the news, the COVID, all that can't figure out, doctors can't figure out. It's in the Word. It's all in His Word. Getting ready to close in the book of Luke chapter 2. Getting back to the Christmas. And Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. And the Bible reads, and while they were there, the time came. Tell your neighbor, the time came. For the prophecy, the plan of God to take execution through Mary and Joseph, the time came. Even though the timing was off, they were in a manger. The time came. There's too many trying to get right in the good times. It don't work like that. We get right in the hard times, in the rotten times, in the addicted times. It's when Jesus does His best work. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him. How many still got to wrap some gifts? She wrapped him. That's the revelation I got this morning. She wrapped Jesus up for you and I. She wrapped him snugly in your life, in my life. Little baby Jesus.
That snuggly tight little wrap works for so long, that baby want to bust out. That might work the first couple of weeks of your salvation, of the life of a newborn baby, where they feel like they're still in their mother's womb in there. But there comes a time where they need to bust out of them snuggly strips of cloth that to me represents still a bondage, being wrapped up. Being wrapped up. Jesus, the only thing that was linens were wraps were left in the tomb was his linen. Was the only thing left there. But Jesus was nowhere to be found. But here, Jesus was in the linen wraps, wrapped up for you and I snugly. And the Bible reads, she wrapped him snugly in the strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Your translation might say no room in the inn. She wrapped him, the gift. The gift. Too many of you are still holding Jesus and he's still got the linen wraps around him. You know what happens to a newborn Christian that leaves Jesus too long wrapped in the linen cloth? He dies. The linen cloth that wrapped him snugly as a baby become the burial clothes to Jesus. Dying as a baby in your life. The Lord's giving me all this right now. It's not on the notes. He dies. The work of the enemy of kill all young males two and under dies in your life. You never unwrap Jesus of his linen that his mother wrapped him in. For you to be able to unwrap him and see him and for him to grow. I love it when a mother comes to the church with a brand new baby. That thing's wrapped up, and it's zipped up. And you got to go looking through. Oh, there he is. There she is. Oh, she's so beautiful. He's so cute. Underneath all being snugged up, wrapped up. How the mother does it to make her baby comfortable, not to cry. To behave him or herself. But that's what happens. Jesus dies as a baby within our lives when we don't unwrap the greatest gift ever. Because we don't have time. I'm working too hard. You're going to allow the greatest gift ever to die because you're working too hard? Because you ain't got enough time? It sounds dumb to me, and it sounds dumb to the perfect plan of the Father. It doesn't make sense. But when you get caught up in the busyness, it makes plenty of sense. And slowly, from baby Jesus wanting to break out of that little cradle, to be able to crawl in your life, walk in your life, to eventually lead your life, dies wrapped up in snugly strips of cloth in the manger, a place for animals. There's dogs right now giving birth in the alley and take care of those young. At 20 degrees weather outside, all them puppies will live. Because the mother by instinct knows what she's supposed to do. Even if she don't belong to nobody, even if she's all messed up, that mother knows how to take care of them pups. As much as a full-blown breed pup that lives in the house, he hats it all. There's just some things the Lord puts in us to protect, to grow. But too many times we forget the reason for the season. We forget the reason for the season. We get caught up. We get mad. We start having fights. We're yelling. And Jesus is all wrapped up.
wanting to
bust out, wanting to get busy in your life, wanting to set you free physically, spiritually, wants to give you a new mind, a new life, a new purpose. But we ain't got time to unwrap the greatest gift ever called Jesus. Wow. The Bible says that she laid him in the manger, a place for animals I put here. My life. I was laying on a bunk bed in prison, locked up for years with criminals that deserved to be there. And this place would become the manger. A place that was there for punishment, correction, would become the birthplace of Jesus taking place within my life. See, too many times we're looking for Jesus to come through in one's life the way you want to see him come through, the place you want to see him come through at. But Jesus does his best work when you're not expecting it, when you don't deserve it. It's his grace and mercy that comes with the cross through his blood, the price that he paid in full. In my manger setting was prison. Doing time, he came to me as I was smoking a cigarette. Yep. In my white, big old baggy boxers, all built. Laying on the bunk bed, fumando un frajo. Became my manger. Not only was prison the manger, but my life was full of sin. You would have thought that there was no room in the end of my life for Jesus, even as snugly wrapped up as he could get himself, would fit in my life, a life full of sin and hatred and murder. But Jesus not only found me in the manger, my bunk bed in prison, but he entered my life at the most place that no one would ever think Jesus would even want to show up at. But he showed up in the manger, and he'll show up wherever you need him in your life. He'll show up wherever you need him. He'll put the manger between your marriage. He'll put the manger between your children. He'll put the manger at workplace. He'll put the manger at finance. He'll put the manger and the call of God upon a life. He will put his life wherever he wants to put it. Even if you think you can't change and he can't fit with your busy lifestyle that you got, there is room in your life for Jesus. And I preach the good gospel, the good news of Jesus, that he's able to save you and reach you no matter where you're at. Jesus was born in my life at the worst time, in prison, a life full of sin with no room for Jesus, at least I thought. My last note says, his grace and mercy allowed me to unwrap Jesus, the greatest gift ever. And I put here, still unwrapping Jesus because he's so great. Still unwrapping Jesus 25 years later because he's so great. Not because I'm slow, it's just that he's so great. There's just so much to unwrap in the revelation of what God wants to give your life. I want to give you a peek now, a little peekaboo. Amen? Just a little, you know, like a little tweaking peek. Amen? Just one of them. A peek of what his word has created right now. He's giving you a peek right now. But it's still up to you to unwrap Jesus. This is the peek. The title of the message was, I know the last one. Unwrapping Jesus, the greatest gift ever. The last picture. It's a little peek. That's it. He's there. But you're going to have to unwrap that gift. He's there. He's in you right now. No one can get you a greater gift. But some of you will get mad this Christmas because you didn't get what you wanted, when Jesus all along has been trying to give you what you need. When it's usually something that you need, you're going to have to do your part. It's all wrapped up, snugly wrapped in linen. And I opened the box a little bit for you to let you know it's not an empty box, that Jesus is there. But he's saying, man, it's been a couple of years now, sis. Bro, it's been a couple of years, man. I want a new wardrobe. I got to get off of these linens. I mean, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to change the diaper of Jesus. He's trained. He's poop trained. How many would like to get a puppy this Christmas and not even have to train it? Potty trained, naturally potty trained. You know, most 3/4 of all dogs are fighting on the streets or in the Humane Society because the owners do not have the patience to potty train the dog. There's your peak. But I'm going to close the gift pack. The message allows you to peek into Jesus, who Jesus is. Well, Pastor, if I unwrap it, he's going to make me stop some things. That's good news. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm still having fun and giggles on the weekends at parties and stuff, and I still kind of like what I'm doing. And Jesus, it's all snugly tight, wrapped up within your life. He wants to become a gift for someone else's life through your life. Because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive as we stand this beautiful Sunday. This Christmas, don't get bummed out if you don't get a gift from me, amen? Tell your neighbor, don't get bummed out. I gave you the best gift ever. I gave you Jesus. Yeah, but I need money, Pastor. I gave you Jesus. You can get money through Jesus. But I really need a car right now. I gave you Jesus. I gave you Jesus. I gave you Jesus. ¿Qué más quieres? They say in Spanish. What else do you want? Whatever the song is. It's a 325 Green Bay game today, amen. Let's not rush the altar call, amen. This is a Christmas service. Unwrapping the gift. The greatest gift ever, Jesus. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. Part of unwrapping Jesus is making the altar calls.